Well, Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And Bob Chapman and I have been trying to warn our listeners for literally years that we were on the brink of a financial disaster, and now that disaster has come. Certainly we're finding that many of our major corporations, like Carlyle Corporation, one of the great corporations of modern times with billions of dollars of assets, and suddenly is getting margin calls it can't meet, and it's facing on the border of, if they can't borrow the money someplace, they'll certainly have to go into receivership. And we're finding this with all sorts of hedge funds. Hedge funds are going down. Certainly lending corporations are going down. Credit has dried up. People are losing their homes by the hundreds of thousands of people are losing their homes by foreclosure. And those homes go on the market and they don't sell. And then you've got to drop the price, and you've got to drop the price, and you've got to drop the price if you want to unload those homes, and the values of homes are going down. And of course, the stock market doesn't look too happy, although it is largely manipulated. But this is not simply a phenomenon in the United States. It's a phenomenon throughout the entire world. And well, with that as a background, hi, Bob. How are you doing? Did you have a good vacation?
Yeah, pretty good.
Okay, fine.
Not bad at all. Not bad at all.
All right. Well, it's good to have you back. And let's get your take on what's going on, because I know you're up on this a lot more than I am.
Well, Carlyle Corporation, which is totally controlled and run for the benefit of the Illuminati, has about $21 billion in assets. And they just get another margin call for $400 million. And I think there's going to be a lot more behind that. And, you know, this bears out what I have said on previous programs. And that is that the insiders never expected this to happen. Had it not been for Meredith Whitney, who is a bank analyst for Oppenheimer & Company in New York, if she had not said what she said about Citigroup, nobody would have known that this whole securitized structured investment vehicles that banks were selling to other professionals was nothing but a scam, and that they were holding trillions of dollars worth of the stuff themselves that they were trying to peddle. And it just shows you how, in an unplanned, untoward act, there's a great chain of events sometimes. And, you know, you never know whether it's going to come out of left field or whatever. In this case, who would have thought that a lady who's an analyst would have caused this whole house of cards created by the elitist to come tumbling down? And that's what's happening. And, you know, normally Carlyle, being like Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan, never get caught offside, because they know it's coming. But it's those untoward acts that they can't control that are sinking them this time. And what's happened is the Fed has lost control, the Treasury's lost control, and they're pumping money and credit into the system in enormous, enormous amounts, hoping they can keep the system afloat. And I know they can't, and I think they know they can't. And it's desperate. And that's why you see the provocations for extension of war against Iran. And that's why you see missiles being set up in Poland and radar in the Czech Republic. And the unilateral declaration of independence by Kosovo. All these acts are being put in place in order to get America, in this case Western Europe, drawn into a greater, wider war so that nobody will notice what they've done in the financial markets.
That's what they always
and
do.
So,
we're out of time, Bob. Hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment with Bob Chapman.
Now, you can enjoy the most delicious, freshest, and healthiest drinking water anytime, even while traveling, during outdoor sporting activities, and in hospital filtration environments such as local or national emergencies. The revolutionary Berkey Light removes pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and harmful or unwanted chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul tastes and odors like that rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light is so powerful it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lake streams and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is transparent and glows in the dark with its rechargeable LED lighting system, so it can be used as a night light or camp light.
Get the Berkey Light purifier for only $279. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
If you're an adult male, you need to listen to this information. By the age of 60, half of all men have a prostate-related problem. In the past, many men have turned to saw palmetto to support prostate health. But now there's something much better. It's called Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate contains 3,000 times more healthy plant sterols than ordinary saw palmetto. In fact, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same benefits of one dose of Beta Prostate. It's guaranteed to provide noticeable support, even if you're already having prostate-related health issues. Now you can get Roger Mason's Beta Prostate formula through this special offer. And if you call now, you'll learn how to get a free bottle of Beta Prostate with your order. Feel a difference or your money back. Here's how to order.
Call now to order Beta Prostate. Dial 1-800-457-9914. Support your prostate with safe, all-natural ingredients. Dial 1-800-457-9914. That's 1-800-457-9914.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, I guess is Bob Chapman, and we're talking about really what's happening. The whole world financial system is beginning to collapse. Banks won't lend to other banks. You said that they can borrow from the Federal Reserve, but suddenly the banks are not lending to people. And you want to go out, you want a development. Maybe you want to borrow, you know, a $20 billion to buy up some other company, but the large sums of money for a lot of these takeovers is simply not going to be there. And we're finding this, and whether it's large loans or small loans, you know, people are having difficulty buying homes, even though that they, you know, have the money to buy them. If they've got to go out and borrow the money, why, they can get into real problems with higher interest rates. And so tell us where we're going from here, Bob.
Well, we've been into this credit crisis, which we mentioned earlier, 8 months, and it's worse now than it was then. The Fed and the Treasury have lost control. They're hoping against hope, to keep this thing together as long as I can, probably until they create another war. And so this is what they're up to right now. And you Americans out there, you better get ready to send your children, as boys and girls, and your grandchildren off to be slaughtered by Serbian or Russian or Iranians or whatever, because that's where this thing is headed. And, you know, on these geopolitical events, in the last 18 years, but particularly the last 8 years, I mean, I've called them long before they've happened. And this is what I see that the Illuminati is backing into here. The financial situation You might call it standing on the coast of the Atlantic Ocean and watching one wave after another come in, because you've got collapsing house prices. Foreclosures that are getting worse and will continue to do so, probably for 2 to 3, 4 years. Unemployment is officially rising when it's really 14% or more. Inflation is 12%. The derivative markets are upside down. Credit derivatives are becoming a real problem. In total, that's a $700 trillion market. That's a T, like in Tom, trillion. And those markets, of course, are all unregulated. The bankers were going to take care of the markets themselves, and you can see them starting to come unglued. Bond market, the spreads between the AAA and the junk bonds continue to widen every day, not only here but in Europe. The stock market is trading below 12,000 and headed much, much lower, which means your pension funds are going to be upside down because they're about 75% funded, and if the market drops 50% from 14 to 7,000, which is a very reasonable assumption, I think it's going to go a lot lower. But anyway, we'll take that as a guideline. They're going to lose about half the money that they have invested, maybe even more. So that means they're going to have a hard time paying people who are on retirement or are going to retire. And then you have the bond market, the structured municipal vehicles. There is no market anymore. That's where municipalities go in short term in order to take advantage of interest rates being lower in the short term, will continue to roll 30 and 60 and 90-day paper with the bank standing in to do the legwork between the borrowers and the lenders, and actually acting as a market maker and a middleman. They're not doing that anymore. And so there's one municipality in Alabama that probably will lead the bandwagon. It's a fairly large sewer project, and it looks like they're going to go under. And so you have all of these things going on. The dollar's collapsing. Gold's being suppressed. It's almost reached 1,000. Silver was selling over $20 yesterday, Friday. You know, you would have to be a complete idiot not to see what's going on. And it is the worst of all worlds. And I don't want to talk about doom and gloom. I'm only talking to you about the facts and where they will lead, because history tells us where they will lead. And we've been right, and the other 98% have been wrong over and over and over again. So you better listen.
Well, you know, I think
because we're headed into real trouble.
One of the big things, of course, is the rising price of oil. And I can't understand why our leaders just don't go to the Arabs and say, look, fellas, we're going to pull all of our troops out of your whole part of the area. You're going to, we're going to foment unrest in your countries. You're going to all be toppled unless you drop the price of oil. But we're not doing that. And now with oil, gasoline, where I am, I saw it the other day at $3.65 a gallon for the cheapest, and you're talking $3.80, $3.90 for the more expensive. And I think, of course, even Goldman Sachs will admit that the price is certainly going to be moving up to $150 or maybe even $200 a barrel. And think what that's going to do. It's going to dry up all the money in this country that ordinarily would be used for investment or for purchasing, and people are going to have a hard time buying the food ready to feed themselves with, much less any luxury items.
Well, you said a lot of things there.
You disagree.
Triple from where they are.
Go ahead and disagree. I say these things hopefully to get a response from you.
Well, I know that. And next we have oil. They're running close to capacity. It's not the Arabs. It's just a speculation. And the speculation is being caused throughout the entire commodity market as the stock market and bond markets start to fail. That's the place to be to make money. And so the speculation continues, and that drives the price up. And in Europe, they've got to be paying something like $6.50 a gallon.
Sure.
And so if you think it's bad here, move to Europe, and you won't drive anyway. You'll take public transportation. In America, they have very little public transportation. What they have is not very good. The what were some of the other things you said there?
Well, basically, because we were simply saying that with the price of gasoline going up, people are not going to have money to buy the other things that is going to drive the market.
Right.
And then, of course, the price of food's going up, too. And with the price of food going up, too, along with the price of gasoline, they're going to have to decide on food or fuel or cutting back on both of them.
Well, I agree. And it's going to be a sad day because unemployment is climbing. And that's why, you know, back 8 years ago, 9 years ago, when we started this program together, or my joining you on the programs, I've talked over and over again about getting out of debt, credit card, revolving debt, and getting some dehydrated, freeze-dried foods in, being able to defend your family. And if you got more money beyond that, then you can think about investing in gold and silver related assets. I still feel the same way. When is the whole thing going to start coming unglued? I don't know, and neither does anyone else. At the rate that they're going, it's probably going to last 2 to 3 more years before we have a collapse, unless some untoward act happens, like Meredith Whitney coming out and saying, hey, the emperor has no clothes on. And that may happen. It's not probable. Possible, but not probable. And so we're going to see a slow grinding deterioration of the world economy led by the American economy. And that'll probably last 2 to 3 years. And during that hyperinflationary stagnation period, which is called recession, which is called stagflation, you're going to see gold go up to astronomical numbers. I said 3,000 minimum. In this kind of environment, as we extend the problems out over the next 2 to 3 years, you're probably looking at somewhere between $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 an ounce. It's very, very possible. It's going to be the only game in town.
Well, because what's going to happen is the dollar's falling. What people don't understand is with the dollar falling, it means that everything they've worked for their whole life is losing value almost on a daily basis. And certainly you may have, you might even have $1 million. But $1 million...
Well, even Ron Paul said, in a couple of years, the dollar could be worth nothing.
Right.
And John Williams came out on a radio program yesterday. He's a eminent statistician and economist whose work I greatly respect. He said the dollar will be worth zero based on today's dollars. So you want to get out of dollars, you go to gold and silver. That's real money. But people are going to lose everything. They don't get it. They don't want to know. And that's okay if they enjoy living under a bridge. It's going to be crowded. But that's where this is all headed, and it is not good.
Well, you know, I think that this could even dwarf the Depression of 1929 and the 30s.
10 times worse, Dan.
At least we had a stable currency. We had a gold-backed currency when this thing came on. At least America did not have a massive debt. America had not promised to give the elderly Social Security and Medicare, and so we did not have this tremendous drain on the federal government, and they could come in with some of these crazy policies. But unfortunately, we no longer have that. The real debt, national debt, is somewhere about $50, $60 trillion. What's the best estimate on that?
Well, I think a conservative estimate is about $75
trillion. About $75
trillion.
That
includes on- and off-budget items. The cash, as they call it, deficit for this fiscal year ended September 30th of this year. If you add in Social Security and Medicare that's been looted, you'll probably come up around $650 billion. And it's going to get worse every year. I think it is very doable on the USDX, which is the dollar index, which has just come down from 110. It's now trading around 73. The best case I see is 55. And 40 would be a median. Below that, it would be absolutely disastrous. Well, so you keep thought, off there. If you are not in gold and silver...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment with Bob Chapman.
As the old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget, and more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount, but in one stop, you can get gifts for the entire family. That's BerkeyWater.com or call 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929. How much are you willing to lose? Take action now. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129. I believe that we are facing a financial catastrophe of biblical proportion. Over recent decades, numerous economic systems have failed. Current Federal Reserve policy and uncontrolled government spending have set the stage for the United States to be the next target. Secure your assets today by calling 1-800-686-2237, extension 129. Do this while paper can still buy gold. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
Are the ancient prophecies being fulfilled? Are we living in the end times? Why do the Muslim nations want to destroy Israel, and why is the United States selling sophisticated military weapons to Saudi Arabia and the other Muslim countries? Why is the incidence of UFO sightings increasing, and why is that important? Well, you'll find the answer to those and many other questions in Lynn Marzulli's exciting book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, because the book discusses the ancient prophecies and the supernatural forces directing the course of world events today. You can purchase Lynn's book at www.spiraloflife.com. That's spiraloflife.com. And if you read Lynn's book, you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Stand back here, I guess, of course, is Bob Chapman. We're talking about what's happening financially, and of course, as the value of the dollar falls, it means the value of everything you've worked for your whole life is declining. It means that the value of your Social Security is certainly going to decline, your Social Security check, because it just won't actually buy as much. The government is lying to us about the rate of inflation, telling us it's 2.1% core and maybe 4%. You know, if we take in food and fuel, but I want you to know that the cost of hockey knee pads has not gone up here in the last several years. The cost of certainly of many of the carpenter tools hasn't gone up, but That's not what we live on. We live on food and fuel and lodging and health care, and they simply lie about those things, because if they told the truth, why, they'd have to pay the recipients of Social Security another 10% every year. And, of course, because according to law, Social Security is tied to inflation, so they lie about inflation. And then, of course, you were foolish enough to invest in government inflation-rated bonds. In other words, you can buy treasury notes that are pegged to inflation. And if we have inflation, why, you get get that inflation added to the value of the bond. But they lie about the level of inflation, too. Why should we expect that the government would tell us the truth on anything? The very purpose of government is to deceive the people, and, of course, the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. But what is the real rate of inflation right now? What is M3, do you think?
Well, I know that inflation is 12% plus. And I am sure that the expansion of money and credit, which used to be known 2 years ago as M3, is now 16%. And where I just got some figures in yesterday, which tells me that figure is going to elevate shortly. The usages in each category are rising, not precipitously, but enough to move it up to 16.5 or 17%. So this is an ongoing problem. It's the only way that they can attempt to save the system. That is, by increasing money and credit, the Fed going into the repo market and increasing the monies available there through the banking system, government squandering more money to feed more money into the economy and increase the national debt. And then on top of that, you have the creation of aggregates by lenders through the fractional banking system. And all of these things are in play not only by the U.S. government and the Federal Reserve, but other central banks and other treasuries in other countries. The increase in M3 in the European in the Eurozone is, and this is a current figure, is 12.8%. In England, it's 12.3%. And in China, it's 18.6%. It's 42% in Russia. It's 22.1% in Saudi Arabia. So we're not the only ones who are doing this. And so the whole system is out of control. And that's why I plead with you, if you have monies to invest, you've got to get into gold and silver-related assets. It's so important. It was important 8 years ago, and that's okay, but everybody tripled their money. Now they're going to go and triple it and triple it and triple it. I mean, the gains in this market are going to be staggering. And I don't sell gold stocks or stocks or gold and silver coins. I'm just telling you what reality is. I've been in this market, these markets, almost 50 years. Almost as long as Stan.
Well, you're
so I think I know what I'm talking about.
Anyway, I think it's really fascinating when we see it unfold, but what we're going to see is an increased level of suffering on the part of the people of the United States and the people of the rest of the world. In fact, in many third world countries where the price of rice and wheat are going through the ceiling, you know, there's just no way that they're going to be able to afford to buy the basic staples. Now, in places like Egypt, where they subsidize the cost of bread, so you can buy bread cheaper than the actual cost. But unfortunately, the Egyptian government's running out of money. And so then what do they do when they don't have the money to subsidize it? And if they don't subsidize it, the bread, why, the people won't be able to buy it. If the people don't buy it, they're going to starve to death. And this is what happens when you get into a situation such as we are in today, where the government has interfered with the economic system. And, of course, the economic system of the entire world is on the brink of disaster, including in Russia, where they're doing very well financially, but it's sitting with a 40% M3. That means they're going to have a 40% inflation next year or the year after that, and pretty soon the whole structure of their government begins to break down. But don't you worry. The people who really run things behind the scenes have a solution. That is a massive war. And, of course, you know, as the casualty figures come in and more people die and millions of people die, who's going to be worried about the finances? Sounds crass? Unfortunately, we're dealing with crass and unfeeling people. We'll be right back with Bob Chapman.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Introducing the most efficient gravity filter available. You know, if you were to throw 100 ball bearings at a magnet, most would bounce off. But if you placed them on the magnet, all would stick. The same principle applies in water filtration. Most filtration systems force water through the filter at 60 to 90 psi, causing water molecules to race through the filter in less than a second. The Berkey Light is different. Water molecules take 5 to 10 minutes to pass through the torturous path of the self-sterilizing filters. This allows the proprietary media formulation to remove and reduce pathogenic bacteria, cysts, chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, organic solvents, foul tastes, odors, heavy metals, and nitrates. It is so powerful it purifies raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds.
Get the Advanced Berkey Light Purifier for only $279 by calling New Millennium 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
This is George Whitehurst Berry of the Genesis Communications Network. Have you ever wanted the truth about the economy? Crash, Are You Ready? Is the fastest growing program on GCN. Our one-hour program airs weekdays, Monday through Friday, from 10 to 11 a.m. Central Time, just after the Power Hour and just before Alex Jones. To listen to rebroadcast 24 and 7, visit our website at www.hearitonline.com and click on the appropriate link. Our unparalleled guest lineup has included patriots such as Congressman Ron Paul, Scott Ritter, former UN Chief Weapons Inspector Murray Neal, inventor of the revolutionary dragonskin body armor, and Philip Tourme, USS Liberty survivor. We also focus on alternative health and survival topics. Go to www.hearitonline.com. That's HEARITONLINE.com.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, trucks stop running and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, our guest is Bob Chapman, the International Forecaster. And before we go on, Bob, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with the International Forecaster, get a free copy, and maybe even want to subscribe, as I do.
Well, you can get a free introductory copy by going to our website. And I should tell you that Forecaster is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues all over the world. We publish by email on Wednesdays and Saturdays and twice a month in hard copy for those of you who are not on the Internet. Our site, which is slightly under repair because it was hacked by the United States government, but it's still functional, that address is theinternationalforecaster.com. The International, forecaster.com. If you'd like to email us with a question, that address is international_forecaster@yahoo.com. international_forecaster@yahoo.com. And if you'd like to call in toll free, that number is 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188.
And you know, really, what's really so tragic is, of course, many people bought homes that really couldn't afford them. They were the so-called subprime purchasers. But then there were a number of people who really weren't that bad off. They might have been able to keep up with their payments as long as, of course, they could hold their job down. But lots of them are certainly losing their homes because they've lost their jobs or because they have so many other expenses now for food and for gasoline or for automotive repairs that they just can't keep up the payments on their house. What's even most interesting is the people who really had the ability to pay, you know, the mortgage on their homes, but they didn't have to put down a big payment, down payment. They got it at nothing down or maybe 5 or 10% down. Now, as the price of their home falls, they find themselves paying mortgage on a loan that is higher than the value of the home. And in many areas here in California, the values of the homes have fallen between 20 and 25%. And more people are simply sending their keys in and saying, you can have the house. Have you run into that, Bob?
Oh, yes. There's lots of it going on every single minute of every day throughout our country. And also, there's another thing called option arms. Just over rate mortgages, which are option, they're called pick and pay as well. And you pick the kind of payment out of three options. And most of the people using those kind of loans who are substantial people with good credit ratings, and they, in part, were trying to really play the real estate market. Those loans are coming due in about a year. Some of them are coming due now, but not many. But it'll be another full year before they start coming in, and they're going to follow the subprime and the ALSA loans, which have been inundating the system. And so this is not going to get over soon, and there's a lot of people who have FOICs, which are credit ratings over 700. The top on that is 850. And these are the better loans, and a lot of them are going to go down because they've overextended themselves. They were talked into these kinds of loans by mortgage people, and they should have known better. And that's going to make things bad at the upper end, because most of those homes are priced in the category of 600,000 and upward. And so that's really going to take a whack the expensive homes down the line here. And this way, this thing that we're facing in real estate and in the mortgage markets and with the banks has just begun. I mean, the bad stuff is yet to come. It's not going to be over for 3 or 4 or 5 years. And there's no way they can stop it. There's just no way. Sure, they can supply mortgages, and that's what you would call the monetizing of the mortgage debt, and the banks are kept in business. People are kept in their homes by either freezing their payments or some such thing. And then you have the borrowing by banks. Now, listen to this. In January, the Fed had two auctions to banks secretly, $20 billion each, and then they put $40 billion into the repo market. So, so that's a total of $80 billion. In February, they went 30, 30, and 60. That's $120 billion. This month, they're going to go 100, 100, or $200 billion. I mean, are they in a fix, or are they in a fix? And so, this is where this is headed. Money is just sloshing around everywhere, and it's killing the average person, because inflation is just going crazy.
And, of course, every time they add more money to the system, why, the value of the dollar goes down even more. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. If you got a question for Bob, why, there's nobody you really will get more information from than him, because he's been at this for a good long while. What you have to understand is this is the greatest catastrophe that our nation has seen, certainly for three quarters of a century, going back to, as I say, the time of 1929, 1930, 1933. would reverse. Eventually, they closed the banks, and simply because the banks were becoming insolvent, and more of our banks, certainly some of our major ones, we're talking about Goldman Sachs, we're talking about Morgan Stanley, we're talking about Citigroup, we're talking about Bank of America, we're talking about many of the hedge funds, we're talking about many of the lending agencies, and they're all insolvent, and people don't understand the implications of that. And they can lend them more money, but that's not going to solve the problem. Go right ahead, Bob.
Well, you're absolutely right. It is not going to solve the problem. And if you look at financial history, you'll find that this which is being done has been done over and over and over again for 1,000 years by the same group of people. The line of power, particularly in Europe and now in the United States. And so it's nothing new. They know where this is all headed. And you and I have talked before, Stan, about this being planned. And, of course, it was planned, but they tried to stop it because everything in the Middle East went haywire for them. And they couldn't stop it. Now it's out of control, and they don't know what to do except throw money and credit at it. And so it's just going to get worse. You have the solutions. You know what to do. If you haven't done it, it's not too late. Gold and silver are still there, and they're still very reasonably priced, thanks to the central banks of the world who have kept on selling their gold into the market to keep the price down so you can buy it cheap.
Well, that's very
sure,
nice
you should have bought it at 252.
Well, you know, it's really so...
But we know, Stan, that we have, which we didn't know at 252, a giant... The biggest bull market of any market in the history of mankind is going on right now, and gold is only $971 an ounce. The least it will do is triple from there. That is the very least.
Well, I certainly agree with you. I think that the people who took advice in the past have done very, very well. People who bought gold and silver stocks in the past have done very, very well, but you have to see what happened here during the Great Depression. And after they nationalized gold, of course, the price of gold and silver stocks just shot through the roof. I mean, some of them went up 40, 50 times in value. And there's the potential to have that same thing happen again right now because, of course, you have to have something that's of inherent value. And the only things that are really of inherent value are those like gold and silver. And certainly in other countries, they're beginning to accumulate them. The people in other countries, in China, India, in Russia, in Brazil, all the countries where the people certainly have a rising living standard, many of them are going into gold because they understand the value of gold. The tragedy is most Americans think that the dollar is the means of exchange, and the dollar has been totally corrupted. They've turned out so much. They've increased since 1971 the amount of money in circulation 12 times over, and that was as of 2005. It's probably gone up again. And they keep just increasing the money supply and increasing the money supply as if there's no tomorrow. And well, of course, I think there's no tomorrow for the American dollar. I think the dollar is going to be destroyed, and I think the elite who run our country are going to destroy it. And the provinces impoverish the American people, who then will readily be willing to accept the rule of the New World Order and the control of the New World Religion and, of course, the enthronement of a New World Leader. Our telephone number is 800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. If you have a question for Bob, this is the time to ask it. Well, Bob, certainly we read articles by some of the outstanding minds in the financial world, and many of them feel that we certainly are moving into a real depression. Certainly, Warren Buffett has come out and said we're in a recession, and he hasn't said we're in a depression yet, but we're in a recession. Doesn't matter what the experts say, doesn't matter what the statistics say. Warren Buffett says we're in a recession, and I think he's absolutely right. What do you say?
Well, I made the announcement 2 years ago, and that's when it began, a year ago in November. Any economist worth his salt saw that the manufacturing industry was passing into recession, and now, early this year and late last year, we saw this drop off in consumerism, then we see the reduction in employment in the services area. And those things are going to continue for a long time to come. What most of you don't know out there is that recessions can last anywhere up to 2 or 3 years. But depressions usually last 10 or more years. Sometimes they can last 40 or 50 years. But 10 is usually the average. And I think that's what we're headed for. And so you've got recession for 2 to 3 years, and then you get 10 years following that. So you're looking at 10-22 before things begin to get back to normality. I can't express strongly enough the calamitous environment that we're in. It is just overwhelming, and you've got to understand it, and you've got to protect yourselves. That's why you're listening to this program and programs like this, so you can learn the truth of what's going on out there.
And I'm afraid that most people are going to be listening to KNBC or CBS or ABC, and they're going to be getting wrong information. Now, they are admitting their financial problems, but they're not getting into the real magnitude of what this is really all about. And what we're seeing is simply the collapse of the financial system here in the United States, engineered by the elite, but certainly getting totally out of hand, not only here, but throughout the world. And certainly it's going to destroy the economy of third world nations. And, of course, so they're all dependent upon the United States. The United States consumes 25% of everything that's produced in the world. And if we cut back even 5% on our consumption, now think of the devastating effect it's going to have on China and Malaysia and South America and Africa and all these countries which had hoped to have a higher living standard, and I fear the people there will soon be impoverished.
Well, we're going to be very disappointed, and, you know, the growth has been good because it's been a sort of profiting from the cast-off from the American economy and others that created enormous amounts of money and credit to make this recovery happen. And recovery is really not the word for it, because in stock market terms, what we've just seen from 2002 up through 2008, or 7 at least, 7 I'll say, is a rally in a bear market. We are still in the bear market that was created on March the 14th of 2000. Incidentally, we got all our subscribers out of the market the first week of April of that year, and we were only part of 1.5% of all economists, analysts, and newsletter writers in the world. And it was very hard to pick that top, and we were happy to do so because we saved our subscribers a lot of grief. It's one thing making money. That's hard. Retaining what you have is even harder. One of the things about mankind has always surprised me is that people go out and work very hard to make a bunch of money, and then they don't protect it. They don't protect it. I mean, I don't know what they think about. I guess they think their job is just making the money and it's supposed to take care of itself. Well, it doesn't work that way.
And of course,
money is a responsibility, and a lot of people don't take it on.
Well, the thing is that let's imagine you're making a 10% return on your money, and that really doesn't sound too bad unless you stop and think that the inflation rate may be 12%, 10-12%. It really means that you're going behind every single year. Not only that, but you got to pay an income tax on that 10% that you got in. So you're in real trouble, and people don't understand. The big thing is not to make wealth, is to maintain what you have. And most of the people out there in the listening audience are not wealthy people, but you've worked your whole life to obtain a certain amount of wealth. The important thing now is to try to preserve what you have. Not to make money, but if you can make money, that's fine. But preserve what you have, and believe me, most people are going to end up, when this is all done, impoverished. You've got about a minute to wrap up the program, Bob.
Right. I think Stan is absolutely correct. and we've told you what to do, and stop spending your time watching network television and start listening to more programs like this. Start thinking about the most important thing in your life, and that's your family and then your friends, and you've got to prepare for what's coming because it is on the way. It has begun. It is only in the in infantile stages, but it's going to get where it's going. And you don't want to be towed under. You want to be prepared. And so please take heed. Stan and I do not get paid to do this by anybody. So please listen.
Amen to that. Well, Chris, we do what we do because, well, we feel we have an obligation to try to educate people and, of course, to convince them that behind all of the things that are going on financially and ideologically and culturally and politically are powerful spiritual forces. Well, Bob Chapman, thank you so very much for being with us. Once again, let's get that telephone number out.
That's 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188.
God bless. I think we have a program later on our evening, a program later this week. We'll talk to you then. Thanks so very much. Good to have you back. Bye-bye.
Berkey purification elements are more powerful than any gravity filter element on the market. These awesome elements are used in Berkey purification systems, and they can also be used to upgrade most other gravity filtration systems. They can purify raw, untreated water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, trihalomethanes, and chemicals such as chlorine, atrazine, styrene, and MTBE. These elements also reduce unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum. Unbelievably, they even remove small microparticulate from water like food coloring particles. Yet, they leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. Moreover, because they are reclaimable, black Berkey elements are more economical than the standard disposable elements, providing fresh, pure water for less than 2 cents per gallon.
Get a two-pack for only $99 or a four-pack for only $188 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteef spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteef exposes the movement behind Rhodes scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. And if you want to, of course, be already up on what's going on, you need to get two pamphlets we produce. They're inexpensive, $3.95 each plus shipping. And, of course, one of them is called The Financial Meltdown. The other is called The History of Money. And then there's my talk on the financial tsunami that comes with a great syllabus so that you'll know what all these terms are. We talk about derivatives and M3 and M2 and M1 and the carry trade and all of these terms that are being used so glibly today. And, of course, we'll help you to understand what's going on. So we have the financial tsunami talk, the financial tsunami syllabus. The Creature from Jekyll Island, Ed Griffin's wonderful book, is now back in print. And if you order it through us and you specifically request it, we'll send you a copy of a CD of or tape of my interview with Ed Griffin. Of course, you have to get the book, and hopefully we'll want to get some of the other things as well. We have the book by Professor Sutton, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, little book, inexpensive, but vitally important. And then the book, Fiat Money Inflation in France. So that's the financial tsunami, the Creature from Jekyll Island, the Federal Reserve Conspiracy, the Fiat Money Inflation in France book, and then my pamphlets on the history of money, and the book on the financial meltdown. They're actually pamphlets. So they're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. How do we convince people that they're being lied to by the media? Well, one is an excellent book called An Act of State by William Pepper, who is the attorney who carried the case to the federal court laid by the Martin Luther King's family to the effect that the government killed Martin Luther King. The book, An Act of State, is only $17.95. Mr. Pepper will be our guest on our afternoon program tomorrow. That's at 4 o'clock Western Time. We have the book on the Bilderberger Diary by Jim Tucker. Bilderbergers, and that's, of course, Daniel Esser. So we have two books on the Bilderbergers plus a four-tape set on the Bilderbergers and even a DVD on the Bilderbergers and called Endgame by Alex Jones. We have a book called The Christian and Civil Government. It's an answer to Romans 13 and the lie that you're being told by your minister. Oh, we shouldn't be involved. We should go right along with the government. After all, George Bush was put there by God, and or maybe he was put there by the other God. Did you ever stop and think of that? Well, let me suggest The Christian and Civil Government. And, of course, when you buy that through us, you get my interview with the author, John Weaver. Excellent and rather inexpensive. And then we have a syllabus put out by our good friend Lorraine Day called Getting Started, Getting Well. It's her workbook with all of the documentation for all of the things she says. And that's Getting Started on Getting Well by Lorraine Day. We have, of course, the music by Newell Oler. If you've never heard it, it's the most really beautiful music. We actually offer the CDs, don't make that much on them, but we think that there's so many wonderful, wonderful songs and restful songs. And then we have audio sets of CDs. We have one on the Bilderbergers. We have one on genetically modified food. We have one on spy chips, one on weather modification, one on Alzheimer's disease, and probably everybody knows somebody that has dementia or Alzheimer's disease. And this four-tape or four-CD set is so vitally important because whether we can reverse it, at least we can, in many cases, stop it from progressing. There's nothing comparable out there to our four-tape or four-CD set on Alzheimer's disease. And then, of course, we have a great DVD called The Planned Police State. It's my talk on what's coming down the line. And we have, of course, the DVD by Alex Jones, The Endgame. And we have his Terror Storm and his other DVD, The Secrets of the Bohemian Grove. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. You can listen to us there. On the internet at RadioLiberty.com, 9 hours a day, and you won't get anything accomplished. But anyway, of course, we hope that you'll tell others about our programs.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in the U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's...
The majority of greenhouse gases are water. Over 95 to 97% of greenhouse gases are water, and of course, CO2 makes up only 380 parts per million of the atmosphere. It's risen from 280 parts to 380 parts per million, over the last century. But you have to understand that most of that actually occurred before we actually had the great industrialization. Well, anyway, let's get to Paul. And Paul, how did it happen that you wrote the book?
Basically, I had seen an article in Time magazine. It was a reference to Mr. Gore's new book, The Assault on Reason.
All right.
When I read that book, there were things in it that greatly disturbed me, made me somewhat curious, and so I bought the book. And I got a little bit upset when I read the book, because it seemed like it was basically a handbook on how to go about fooling the American public using the power of multimedia and basically propaganda. So I got curious, and I actually purchased his documentary, An Inconvenient Truth. And after watching that, I was increasingly disturbed, which is a nice way to put it. And so I began researching the information that was presented in that, and basically decided to try and put together an overall primer, if you will, on the different issues.
And, of course, a large part of your book, at least at the beginning of it, deals with Al Gore's book, An Inconvenient Truth.
Yes.
Where, of course, he talks about how there's a conscious effort by the elite to brainwash us, and, of course, we have to be able to think by ourselves. And, of course, what the elite tries to do is frighten us to death, so we will follow them and give up our freedom. And so much of what he says in his book, An Inconvenient Truth, is absolutely true. Except that's exactly what Al Gore is doing. They're trying to frighten us to give up our freedom. Isn't that true?
He calls that in his book, The Assault on Reason, he calls it the politics of fear.
The politics of fear. And yet, who is trying to raise more fear than Al Gore? They're trying to frighten us to death to believe that we have global warming. And yet, of course, this has been one of the coolest winters we've had in many, many years. We've had colder times here in California. We've gotten more snow than we've had many years we have this all across America, and yet, of course, it doesn't matter what's true or not. Why, of course, what they do is keep insisting. Why, of course, there's no question. All responsible scientists honestly believe that that we are actually have global warming. School is out. The question's been answered. Why, everyone knows what Al Gore says is true. The question is it? And we'll be back in just a moment with Paul to explore that fact. Well, Paul, why don't you go ahead and pick the story up?
Okay, well, let me start with a comment, I guess, that you made about is it true? I mentioned to you that I was going to that climate that was sponsored by the Heartland Institute in New York, that climate conference. And I came to the conclusion at that conference, I listened to about 200 heavily respected climate Scientologists or climate scientists from around the world talking about the actual facts versus what is claimed, and I came to the conclusion this is not about truth. This is really about power and about profit.
And I think you're absolutely right, but the average American really doesn't understand that, does he?
Well, I believe what basically the average American understands is that they don't understand the factors that go into climate. They've been presented with a rather frightening scenario, and they've been given a simple solution, basically involving them giving up money and freedom that they can do to help that situation.
Well, now, how is this whole global warming scam going to cause them to give up their freedom and give up money?
Actually, in two ways. Well, actually, more than that. The first thing, let me start with freedom. Basically, this initial climate legislation, carbon cap and trade, however you want to term that based on which country you're in, initially attacks the output of industry. It assigns them a certain amount of carbon output that they have the right to pollute. And that's where it begins. But now that has been instituted under the Kyoto Protocol in every industrialized country that is not labeled as developing, which China is one that is labeled as developing, so guess who wrote that protocol. But if you look at the restrictions that have been put on those industry, the next step is, it's a slippery slope concept. Now you have in Europe, as they're getting ready to redo the Kyoto Treaty, that is actually the provisions of it are running out in a few years, they're talking about restricting the output of commercial institutions, of churches, and of homes.
Well, they certainly want to get us out of our cars. They wanted to get us to stop burning wood in our homes, or heat our homes, so we can just freeze. They don't even want us to use pellet stoves. They want us to stop using certainly all sorts of products such as coal for producing electricity. They certainly want us to stop using oil to produce electricity. What they really want to do is dramatically cut back on the amount of fuel that is used, the amount of power that we used. In fact, they really want to deindustrialize America. Have you run into that?
Absolutely. A real keynote of the proposal is, for example, a moratorium on power plants. And it was interesting. At the conference, I got the privilege of being able to talk to a gentleman from India who was there. I believe he was a cabinet member.
Hold that thought right there. Our guest, of course, is Paul Speight, and we're talking about his book, A Climate Crisis a la Gore. A climate crisis allegory, and he's really going into this whole scam of global warming. And what's so great about this is we've needed a good book on this subject for a long period of time. And what Paul has done is to analyze not only Al Gore's movie, of course, which he's put out all over across the country, and he got the Nobel Prize for it, which just shows you that Nobel Prize really doesn't mean much of anything, because, of course, the but he was totally fraudulent. But then, of course, another book he's written, going into the background, The Assault on Reason, that's the title of it. It's everything that Al Gore, almost everything he says that here is true, that our minds are controlled, that we're fooled by fear, that the people who control the media are trying to frighten us into believing this, that, or the other thing. And yet, of course, as he goes through point by point that Al Gore makes, I tend to agree with these. The other trouble is that the very techniques that Al Gore is using, and that's why I think that the book is really so great, because it shows the hypocrisy of this man, who, of course, was a senator for so long, the vice president of the United States, and of course, I don't know whether we're better or worse off the fact that he didn't get the presidency, which he really won, had they not fudged on the votes there in Florida. But, of course, they used that, of course, to get the hanging Chad bed in Florida to get us to put in the electronic voting machines, and now they can rig all the elections, which they are doing today. And, of course, certainly in some areas, they get far more people voting than there are people registered in the precincts. But, of course, the voting machine comes up with hundreds and hundreds of people and votes for people that aren't even registered. And when you ask them how that could possibly be, how you could have more people voting than they're registered in the precinct, they say, well, the machine had a hiccup and everybody accepts it. Well, you know, I think that the book is fascinating, Paul. What sort of response are you getting from it?
So far, actually, very little. I'm hoping that exposure on programs like this will probably help. It was interesting. The publisher had suggested that I join a social forum on the Internet, which I'm not familiar with at all. And so I had gone to, I guess it was Facebook.com, that he had suggested that I go to, and I went onto a climate discussion group. I entered my views on climate, and my entry was promptly removed. So I think that is basically everyone who actually has read the book has actually gotten somewhat disturbed enough to call their congressman and insist that they vote for a moratorium or put a moratorium on any climate legislation until the real facts come out. But again, I don't think even Congress is particularly interested in the facts.
Well, I think the important thing to do is get the American people educated. Now, could you explain to them this whole idea of greenhouse gases and why, what the rationale is for trying to, you know, massively cut back on CO2 emissions here by, of course, deindustrializing the United States, closing down our electric generating plants, getting people out of their cars, stopping people from burning wood in their homes, stopping people from being able to have air conditioning and heat in their homes? What's the rationale for it, and what is the greenhouse effect?
The simple explanation behind the greenhouse effect is that there are certain gases that accumulate in the upper part of our atmosphere that the radiation from the sun goes through. It is absorbed as heat into the earth. The earth gives it back out again. It's a different kind of radiation that those particular greenhouse gases then absorb that energy and delay its transmission back into space. The theory is that the more gases that accumulate in the atmosphere, the higher the concentration, the longer that delay, trapping more heat and increasing the global temperature. There have been concerns with other things like methane in the past, but you had made a comment when the show started, something very significant that has to do with the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Now, water vapor actually is a huge energy sink, and it accounts for about 40% of the greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. Actually, more than that, I'm sorry. The carbon dioxide only accounts for about 1/4 of 1%.
1/4 of 1%.
Yeah, and of that, we only emit about a little over 3% of the carbon dioxide that goes into the atmosphere.
And certainly one of the most significant things is the fact that most of the carbon dioxide that comes when we are having a cycle of warming comes out of the ocean.
Absolutely.
And would you like to explain to the people about that? Because, of course, Al Gore will try to tell you that certainly we have global warming, and, of course, the global warming is produced by the increased CO2, and he will tell you that, look at the charts, see, we have more CO2 now than we did 100 years ago, but is it necessarily the CO2 that produced the global warming, the global warming that produced the CO2?
I think that it's very strongly the fact that the Earth was warming that actually produced the CO2. A warmer Earth produces more vegetation that is the primary source of the natural CO2. I mean, it's a fact. If you get more evaporation, you get more moisture in the air, you get a warmer temperature, you get more plant growth. That's why there's more plants in the tropics, obviously. You have the release of the warmer water. The oceans release more of the carbon dioxide that is stored in them, the tundra in such and such area. As it falls, it releases trapped carbon dioxide and methane. So actually, you and if you actually look at even Mr. Gore's graph that he used, that he got from the intergovernmental.
Hello? Go ahead.
On the IPCC, you'll actually see that the spikes in the supposedly showing a direct correlation between dioxide and temperature, you'll see that the spikes in the temperature actually precede the spikes in the carbon dioxide. Even at the scale that he shows it at, you can see that there's about a 100 or 200-year delay in the increases in carbon dioxide, whereas if they're correct in their claim of their necessity to limit carbon dioxide because it produces warming would show the exact opposite correlation. But the interesting thing about the claim of direct correlation between carbon dioxide and temperature is if you look at Mr. Gore's graph on his presentation that he makes on the Inconvenient Truth, you'll see a rapidly climbing, almost a parabolic curve of increased carbon dioxide emissions. But the temperature underneath him, when he gets to the point where he says that the carbon dioxide is increasing, even though we have temperature data for those years, the temperature graph stops because it would show no correlation. If you look at the complete, there's been supposedly a 30% increase, and I believe that, in the increases that we could measure of carbon dioxide in the last 100 years. That's a 30% increase, but we've had less than 1 degree of warming.
No, but of course, what people don't understand what that 30% increase is. That means we've gone up from 280 parts per million CO2 to 380 parts per million CO2.
Yes,
I mean, that sounds like a 30%. Well, if you stop and think, 380 parts per million of the atmosphere is CO2, that is an infinitesimal amount.
And what's even more interesting, there's a website, and I actually met the founder of that website. It's called Junk Science.
Junk Science, right.
Okay, and it makes the point that even if we could increase carbon dioxide, he said the first 1 degree of warming is represented by, if it's represented by 100 parts per million, the second degree of warming, because carbon dioxide has an energy saturation as it absorbs energy, that to increase one more degree would take 90,000 parts per million, not 100. The next 1 degree takes 90,000 parts, but we would be dead at 8,000 parts because it's toxic to us and it kills us.
Well, of course, but CO2 is very healthy for plants, isn't it? In fact, don't plants grow better with a higher CO2 level?
All of the evidence that we have from the past, which incidentally includes several periods that we had measurably higher CO2 than we have now, all of those were periods of expansion in civilization and flourishing.
Well, let me first clarify this issue of the relationship between the higher levels of CO2 and the increase in temperature. Now, the atmospheric scientists who are not, of course, on the payroll of the establishment or not on the payroll of the government or the great tax-exempt foundations, the atmospheric scientists who really, of course, have studied this thing well will point out that we have in a global warming cycle. We have them about every 1,000 years. 1,000 years ago, Greenland was green, certainly. Yeah. We had a global warming until about 1300, and then we began to go into global cooling, and 1600 or 1700 or 1800 we began to go into global warming again. But as they go back through the many centuries and analyze this, if the global warming comes, and then the CO2 rises after that, not beforehand. And the reason for that is, of course, if you have a bottle of carbonated beverage with CO2 in it, and you heat the bottle, why, of course, the CO2 comes out. And, of course, if you heat it enough, why, the bottle will explode because of the pressure of the CO2. And that's exactly what happens with the oceans. They're the greatest source of CO2 in the world today. They absorb the CO2 when the world is cooler, and they give off CO2 as the Earth tends to warm. And what Al Gore's charts really show, and he doesn't want you to see that, what they really show is that the CO2 rise comes after you've had the global warming, not the CO2 causing the global warming. Would that be a fair statement, Paul?
That's an extremely accurate statement. You will find I point that out in the book, you will find that almost every claim that is made about global warming that is has any degree of truth in it, because not all of them do, but anyone that has any degree of truth is actually a reverse correlation between cause and effect.
And, of course, there is simply a control over the media. Of course, this Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change simply rigged the figures because, of course, the number of scientists attended the meeting. And then after they'd gone home, or the government employees and those people subservient to the establishment rigged the figures to show, of course, that there was this dramatic a relationship between global warming and CO2 in the environment, and it just wasn't true. They said, but these people are not above lying. You've probably seen the hockey stick. The
hockey stick is totally
fraudulent. But, of course, you're not going to get that reading your local newspaper or listening to your local news. Well, Paul, do you want to talk a little bit about the hockey stick? Because I think that is so fascinating, the way they were able to misuse science to give the visual impression that, look at how low the temperature had been, and then now that we have rising CO2, why we have this sudden jump up and on the chart, and it looks like a hockey stick.
If I could, I'd like to make actually 2 points about that graph. Actually, three. Number one, that graph by status has been completely discounted by the U.S. Statistical Association. I'm not sure, Statisticians Association, because of the errors in the way that the data was presented. But let me step back just a minute, because I met a gentleman, a gentleman from England who's been an advisor to the parliament over there. And he told me that basically when the IPCC put their data together for that graph, or the gentleman that actually helped produce that graph, they took measurements from different points around the world, and they happened to have gotten one of them that showed that 1% increase, and showed basically in the from one weather observation station. When they took that graph, they took the other graph that they had been presented that did not show any increase, and they gave that one a weight of 390 times when they averaged it, and gave the others a weight of one.
Why would they give this one one report a weight of 390 and all the rest of them a weight of one? That doesn't sound very impartial to me.
No, because that presents the data in the fashion that they need to in order to justify actually a bit of a profit structure involving carbon credit verification. However, we'll probably get to that in just a moment. Another point I want to make about that graph, and it was interesting. I talked to a lawyer at that conference that there's actually a book that judges use to determine when scientific evidence and the rules for allowing scientific evidence in court. And one of those is that you have to show a graph cannot take up the entire graph. In other words, you can't pick a scale that occupies the entire graph. You have to pick a scale small enough that you get, especially a vertical scale, small enough that you get an overall composite picture of what the trend really looks like. Going back to that graph, if you take, for example, the average human body temperature, 98.6, I think, and you showed the average human temperature, your own, for, say, 10 days running, and it was 98.6, and you made, on the right side of your graph, you made the degrees in tenths, and then you had a temperature of 100, you could show a flat line with a spike that occupied the entire graph, and looked like your body temperature had just climbed to 50, 60 times your normal rate because of the trick with the vertical representation. I don't care how you look at that graph. If you actually read the numbers on the side, it's 6/10 of a degree Celsius of warming.
And, of course, the thing is that really, of course, the old idea that figures don't lie, but liars figure. And they love to make graphs to confuse people who do not understand what it's really all about. And this whole thing is a scam. And, of course, Al Gore had written a book that went into this whole concept of how the scams are run. His book, The Assault on Reason, is a very reasonable, very well-written book, at least from what you've told us about it. And yet, of course, he's used all the techniques he talked about in his whole effort to frighten the people of the United States, indeed the people of the entire world, into the fact we're all going to die as a result of global warming, but there's not a bit of truth to it. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and our guest, of course, is Paul Speight. His book is entitled A Climate Crisis, Al Gore, and, of course, the truth of the matter is, this whole thing is a scam. It is really an attack on the Industrial Foundation of America. And, of course, it is being perpetrated. The scam is being perpetrated not only by Al Gore, but by the Nobel Prize Committee, and certainly by the mass media in America, by the environmental movement, by the great tax-exempt foundations, and certainly our educational programs in our universities. They're all pushing things that just aren't true. And yet, if you talk to climate scientists, they will tell you there is no evidence that man's activity certainly is in any way influencing the climate. Now, certainly, there's no question we've had global warming since about the 17th or 18th centuries. And we've increased the temperature maybe a couple of degrees. And that's why the snows on Kilimanjaro are melting. And that's why some of the polar ice caps are melting. But then the polar ice caps are melting on Mars as well, both the North Pole and the South Pole of Mars. And is that because of the excessive driving there by the little Martians in their cars? Or is that a reflection of what's happening here on Earth? Or is it a reflection of the sun? How does the sun actually influence the temperature, Paul? I mean, how does the sun's activity influence the temperature here on Earth?
Contrary to the way that claims are stated in the those pushing the idea of a climate crisis, I'm going to preface what I know about the sun as a driver of climate change by saying this is what we think. This is not what we know. There are actually about 6,500 physicists concluding a study called a research project called the Cloud Research Project that would tend to indicate that when you have sunspot activity, you get a bombardment of cosmic rays that actually forms the nucleus of what forms clouds. And obviously, if you have cloud cover, you have a cooler Earth. If you don't have cloud cover, more energy actually gets to the Earth before it's absorbed by that water vapor. That seems to be the primary driver. A second factor of the sun is called irradiance, which is simply an increase in the output of energy from the sun. There is an intense investigation in both of those. Maybe they may be the same. One may be a result of the other incident. But they both seem to actually have a very precise correlation between measured increases in temperature that we've been able to observe over the past 100 years. So they show a great deal of promise. The problem is that they're trying to push this legislation through before the results of that, which would tend to indicate a much more accurate driver of climate change, are actually available. And as you indicated, this is not particularly about truth. It is not seen to be.
No, it is really an attack on the industrial capacity of America. It's a conscious effort to impoverish the American people, to lower our living standards so they can raise living standards throughout the world, because the people behind this have an intense hatred of America and everything that we stand for. They do not believe in freedom. They want all power given to the government, which, of course, they will control. And then, of course, they can lower our living standards. There can be this redistribution of wealth, or as it says in the Earth Charter in point 10A, equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations. Did you run into this discussion at all at this meeting? Do some of the scientists there really realize that this is an attack on the industrial capacity of America?
I don't think there's any question. I think not only the industrial capacity of America, but I think this is actually an attack on human rights. I mean, I don't know a better way to say that. One of the centerpieces of this is a moratorium on power plants. And before the break, I had started to mention how that has affected, for example, India. 40% of India and China and Africa, for example, the poorer nations, they rely on wood and dung, on animal waste, as fuel to heat and to cook with. In India alone, there's 600,000 women that are dying every year of respiratory diseases from breathing smoke from cooking over fires that are made with dung. And the global warming activists would say to them, you cannot have access to electrical power because that would endanger you. So we're going to allow that 600,000 deaths per year to continue to occur. That's just in India alone. The cost of this, you know, it's interesting. Climate change, you deal with climate change, the best way is with wealth. For example, if it's hot, I turn my thermostat up. I can pay for the extra power. If you have no wealth, then climate change attacks you directly, and you're subject to disease, lack of refrigeration for medicines. I mean, the whole gamut just goes on and on. But I believe that to a large degree, the support of the other nations in the United Nations that are trying to limit the industrial capacity of America is an attack by them on America. They stand to benefit completely by a weakened America. No question.
And, of course, it's about time the American people heard this, but you're not going to get this through the controlled media, through the controlled newspapers. And believe me, having run for political office, I will tell you that the newspapers all in this area are controlled. And, of course, this happens any time. Why do you think we have such radical people back in Congress? We can thank our newspapers for this. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Paul Spite, S-P-I-T-E, in his book, A Climate Crisis Allegore. And he was invited to speak at this major conference. What was that, last week or the week before that?
It was actually last week. And I actually was not one of the speakers. Someone more qualified than I was. I yielded my spot to him, and I just basically sat and took notes. It was a conference of over 500 scientists, economists, public leaders from all over the world. I got the privilege of having breakfast with the president of Czechoslovakia, a powerful man, the only leader at the recent UN conference on climate change to stand up and demand an explanation for what is going on. He was obviously not well received at that meeting. And let me just pass on something from him, if I could. You know, yet the Warner-Lieberman bill that is currently ready to vote on in Congress, and hence that's one of the reasons why I was trying to get this book out. I think unless the American people stand up and say something, a version of that bill is going to be passed. It calls for a 70% reduction in carbon output by American industries by 2050. Now, he's the president of Czechoslovakia. In the Eastern Bloc countries that were formerly in the Soviet Union that came into the European Union recently, and therefore came under the Kyoto Protocol, their industries did not diminish. They disappeared.
Their industry did not diminish. It disappeared.
It disappeared. A 43% reduction in gross domestic product.
Well, of course, the people there in Czechoslovakia understand that they are destroying their hope, their future, their children's future?
Well, he does. That's what he was doing at this conference. But what is especially grim about that is that with the industry completely disappearing, their carbon emissions in the 15 years of Kyoto decreased by 53%, wiped out at their entire industry. The Warner-Lieberman bill says we need to reduce ours by 70%. And my question is, for the sake of a non-solution to a non-problem, is America willing to give up every bit of their industry and take a drastic cut in their standard of living?
And, of course, how much of their industry have they lost in Czechoslovakia as a result of this?
He said almost all of it.
Then almost all of the industry. Almost. Now, what about Germany? What about France? Are they giving up their industries as well?
No. The wealthier countries, it's interesting. The Kyoto Protocol was supposed to reduce carbon emissions by 30%. Now, that has turned into a $50 billion a year industry, those carbon credits.
All right, I think Al Gore makes a certain amount of money on those. We'll be back in just a moment with Paul Spite. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course, before we go on, Paul, do you have a website you'd like to get out?
Actually, I have a website, but it is not related to this. It is related actually to my architectural practice and to some devotional studies for youth. So, it's probably not relevant to that.
All right, fine. Well, now, of course, where can people get copies of the book, and how much does it cost?
It costs $15, and it is available by searching on Amazon.com.
All right, fine. I think we're probably going to carry this. We've been looking for a good book for some time. The book, again, is, of course, A Climate Crisis Allegore, so you can go up and look at Amazon, or hopefully we will be carrying this as well before long, because we need to be able to get the information out. Now, while we were off the air, why Paul was saying that at this recent conference he attended within the last couple of weeks, for people from all over the world, the president of Czechoslovakia was there. Would you mind repeating what you told me about what the president of Czechoslovakia told you about the drastic reduction in their industrial capacity because they were adhering to the Kyoto Protocol?
What he told me was that because of the Kyoto Protocol in the less developed the post-communist countries basically that voluntarily joined the Kyoto Protocol when they joined the European Union, that those countries, they decreased their carbon output by 32%. They lost almost all of their heavy industry, and they lost almost half of their gross domestic product.
Well, they lost almost half of their major industry and certainly half of their domestic product. What this is really all about is the destruction of the industrial capacity of countries like Czechoslovakia and the United States. But the way this is set up, it is not influencing Germany. It is not influencing France, and is not influencing them because they're using nuclear power. And, of course, we're not allowed to use nuclear power here in the United States, even though we developed it. And the reason is we don't know what to do with the spent fuel. Well, why don't we do what they do with in Germany and in France? Well, because, of course, they reprocess their spent fuel. We do not do that because they passed laws here to keep us from doing what's logical to try to solve the problem. They don't want a solution. They want the problem because they want to impoverish the American people. And they want to impoverish our children and enslave us. And when you understand that, this all makes sense. Otherwise, why are we, of course, going along with an agenda which is intent upon the destroying the industrial capacity of our nation? Well, now, what about this new Lieberman bill that they're trying to get through you had mentioned?
The supposed goal of that is to reduce emissions from the United States industry by 50%, I'm sorry, by 70%.
Reduce the emissions by 70%.
That would require probably a loss of every industry that we have in this country.
And of course, Lieberman, of course, is part of this movement to destroy America. He's part of this movement that hates America and would destroy our industrial capacity based upon a totally fraudulent concept. Because although we have global warming, we've had almost 3/4 of a degree of global warming over the last century. Most of it took place before 1940 when, of course, we began increasing CO2 emissions. They just don't bother to tell you that, do they?
Well, no, actually, the as we said before, the facts, the actual real-world observable facts don't seem to particularly matter in this. The legislation is going forward. There are scientists all over the country standing up, all over the world standing up, saying, time out, this doesn't make any sense. Even the people who contributed to the IPCC report, they're standing up and saying, that's not what the facts of our research said. IPCC takes those, rewrites them, changes exactly them 180 degrees from what they said.
And of course, the IPCC is the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Control.
Yes.
IPCC, Intergovernmental Panel on,
not scientists,
on Climate Control. And what they did is simply they lied. But, of course, it doesn't really matter. I mean, because they said that we've got thousands of scientists who are in agreement. No, the thousands of scientists weren't in agreement. It was simply after they'd gone home, they changed the decision of the IPCC, and they put it out as gospel truth, and it wasn't gospel truth.
There's actually three aspects to those reports. You have the scientists who actually do the research, and most of those have integrity. I mean, there's some, obviously, that don't, but that's the case in any profession. I have a great deal of respect for most scientists' pursuit of the truth. Then they submit that data to the IPCC, and they write a scientific summary that's approved by the scientists that contributed to it, and then they write a summary for policymakers, and the summary for policymakers, usually there's no resemblance whatsoever to either the input or the scientific assessment. It's just the most astonishing thing. They've even managed to wipe out the global warming period in the last one. It doesn't exist anymore. Regardless of history, crop records, it just doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't show up on the charts.
And, of course, Al Gore, I think he uses about 10 times as much electricity in his mansion as the average individual. He has actually, a big Hummer and a couple of large SVUs. But, of course, he says, well, he's going to buy carbon credits, and that's going to cut down his carbon footprint, and that's how he justifies that he can have it. No, ladies and gentlemen, there's an elite. They want, of course, to have all the luxuries. They just don't want you out there in the listening audience until you understand that there are people with a different worldview who certainly do not care about the truth. They have an agenda. and they intend to destroy the industrial capacity of our nation. What's happening over in Czechoslovakia? You talk to the president of Czechoslovakia. Are the people there suffering because they've been destroyed the industrial capacity of that nation?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, basically what he was there at the conference was, I think two things. Number one, he was looking for moral support of knowing that he's not a lone voice. I mean, he has really been, in his particular world, a single voice clamoring against the public perception. And then, but the second thing is that he's basically saying, we need to put a stop to this for my people's sake. We need to put a stop to this nonsense on a worldwide level and completely remove power from these people. And that was his hope, and that is why he bothered to come and contribute to the conference. He's very, very, very much concerned about the suffering of his people.
And, of course, this conference, made largely of scientists throughout the world, was the major tone of this conference that you attended, that this whole global warming concept produced by humanity is a scam?
Well, I don't think anybody was willing to quite say that. I think they basically said was that they conclusively discussed all of the facts that supposedly supported and showed that real-world observations and measurements actually have no bearing whatsoever to what's being claimed. So, I mean, you can word that however you want to.
Well, I think that maybe they're more diplomatic than I am, but I think that somebody has to say that there are people out there who have a different worldview, who know exactly what they're doing, who are distorting the scientific facts to fit into their political agenda, and that political agenda involves lowering the living standards of people in the United States and in many other places throughout the world. Well, do you think that would be a fair statement?
Oh, I think that's probably a strong half of the equation. I think the other half is profit.
All right, fine. Now, who is going to profit on this this scam? Is Al Gore going to make a profit?
Let me read you a list I put together.
All right, fine.
He gets income from the documentary An Inconvenient Truth, but a book from the same name. He had movie revenues of $50 million, DVD sales of $1.5 million, royalties from the increased sale of its first with Earth in the Balance, his new book, The Assault on Reason, speaking fees, the 2,000 presentations of his slideshow, corporate board seat compensation from three climate groups. But here's the big one. He owns an investment company, a sustainable investment fund, that has supposedly has assets, is based in London, has assets over $1 billion.
Assets over $1 billion?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Here's the key. The last time I checked on his website, he claimed to have purchased 19 companies that were sustainable. Now, sustainable companies are those that generate products that supposedly reduce our carbon output. Those are the companies, not those specific ones, but those type of companies, when an industry is forced to pay carbon credits for the right to pollute, that money, after broker fees are removed, after verification fees are removed, that money, $50 billion last year, goes to sustainable companies to do research into projects that will supposedly reduce our carbon output. So who's going to gain? Who's got 19 companies, as of the time I did the research on this book, all of whom are going to be receiving funds from our industries that are mandated as a tax?
Now, is any of the work that Al Gore is going to do having to do with these carbon credits? Because, of course, carbon credits are simply a scam. Basically, the whole idea is not to cut down pollution. You just get the right to continue pollution by buying carbon credits from people who are not polluting. In other words, some countries that have very, very little, you know, pollution. They're either deindustrialized or, of course, they've gone to nuclear energy, so they're not polluting. And so you buy the credits from them, and then you can continue polluting. How does that actually help decrease the amount of pollution if you can continue polluting?
There have been, in 15 years of the Kyoto Protocol, with every industrialized country now in the world under it, and most of them except for Australia, for the last 15 years, there has been absolutely no measurable or discernible decrease in carbon output.
No, but certainly we're getting a lot of global cooling. Does anybody have any explanation for global cooling, or is it this old idea? Well, it's the global warming that's producing the global cooling.
Now they're saying that, did we say global warming? What we really meant was climate change.
Right.
The change in rhetoric this last year. We have actually lost all of the game. This year we've lost all of the game since 1900 as far as increases in temperature. That was actually predicted about a year and a half ago by the same scientists who are doing that research project, that cloud research, because they had noticed a decrease, which is a cyclical thing also, had noticed a decrease in sunspot activity and said, if we're right about this, we'd better be more worried about an incoming ice age than we ought to be worried about a warming cycle. But we don't know that for sure because we don't really understand the direct correlation. And a half year later, the temperature started shifting again.
Well, so now, of course, instead of talking about global warming, they've changed it to climate change. And, of course, it's the CO2 that produces the warming. It's the CO2 that produces the global cooling. The important thing is to attack the CO2. People have forgotten that 1,000 years ago, they were growing grapes on Greenland. They were growing grapes in northern England. Warmer climate and higher CO2 gives you more food production and, of course, much more abundance of food. And this is what we're going to need as we have more and more people. We need to be able to produce more food. And, of course, they don't want that. I mean, go ahead.
I'm sorry. There's a real simple concept in this whole thing. Warming is bad. Cooling is good. I don't know why they would think that, but, you know, warming is supposedly bad. So where do most of the people on the Earth live, except in the tropics? And where do most of the people choose not to live, which is by the poles, because a cooler temperature is a lousy living environment? Is this even a problem? If it does get a little warmer, do we care?
Well, of course, you know, you go back 30 years ago, Al Gore, as an environmentalist, was talking about the threat of global cooling.
Yes.
And he was lecturing on the threat of global cooling.
Yes, he was.
Global cooling was the big problem. And one day, they just switched over to global warming. But when you control the media, it doesn't matter whether you're telling the truth or not. Why, of course, eventually the people will believe. Unless, of course, they listen to programs like this one, or, of course, they read books like The Climate Crisis Al Gore by Paul Spite, who is our guest today. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And this is a fascinating subject, and certainly I think that Paul has done an excellent job of putting this together. And he has a section there on, of course, Al Gore's book, specifically going into the background of the assault on reason. Then he has a section on Al Gore's motion picture, you know, and then Al Gore's book, and then Al Gore's views. And so basically what this is an expose of Al Gore. How could anybody be as wrong as Al Gore unintentionally? Do you think he has an agenda?
Oh, no question. I think his agenda is entirely profit. Because, I say that, I don't think it's particularly power. I think it's entirely profit, because in 2 years, he couldn't be elected to anything if the cooling continues. However, that will not change his profits if the legislation is passed, his potential profit structure.
And, of course, what you're pointing out is not only all the money made off of his books and off his video and off of his motion picture, but all the money he's making off of this company that he has. Is this over in London? Where is it?
It's in London, yeah. He and a partner formed it in London.
And, of course, it's a $1 billion dollar company?
So far, you know, it has assets that approach $1 billion.
Okay. And
an investment fund.
And, of course, why don't we ever hear about this? I mean, I would think that the American people would want to know that Al Gore is profiting from this scam that he's running.
Actually, I first learned about it from a Time magazine article that was talking about basically... It was listing that as touting his concern for the environment by creating this investment fund. My question was, if it's sustainable companies, what are they getting out of the deal? Well, actually, a great deal. A great deal. So, I mean, he does nothing but profit from once this legislation is passed. We just pay the tax, the extra cost of the goods that the companies tack onto the cost of their products to survive.
And, of course, what you're really talking about is, of course, it's going to be much more expensive for the products because, of course, we're going to destroy the industrial capacity of America if we have to cut back 70% on our energy production by the year 2050. And, of course, that'll be totally crippling our whole way of life.
Actually, what I think will happen is I think the industry will, for the most part, will just leave.
But, of course, what will that do to the average American? I mean, where is he going to get a job? Where is his children going to get jobs if we do away with our industrial production?
Every job is based on industry, ultimately. It's based on the income from industry. I honestly believe, and this is why I wrote the book, I got two boys in the armed forces. One's in Iraq now, one's scheduled to go. I'm too old to fight like that. But my mind still works. Yeah, I'm trying to use my mind to fight what I think is a threat of probably the worst depression that America's ever going to see if that legislation passes. And Congress does not seem to be concerned about that.
Well, I wonder if the people out in the listening audience are really concerned about the fact that they're aimed at destroying the industrial capacity of our nation. In other words, the enemy is not outside attacking us. And they're not sitting over in a cave in Afghanistan figuring out how they're going to destroy America. They're sitting in the boardrooms right next to Al Gore figuring out how they're going to sell the American people this scam, get the legislation through, and destroy our industrial capacity. What can the average individual do, Paul?
I don't think that Congress is going to be concerned about anybody losing their job unless they're first concerned about losing their own job. And what I ask in the back of this book is I ask, if you read this and it disturbs you, would you please call your congressman and say, we know, now that you know, that none of this is real. And if you vote for this, I'm going to do my best to get you out of office.
And I think that's the one thing that the people in Congress really care about. Most of them, you know, they're not dedicated to the right. They're not dedicated to the left. They're dedicated to staying there with all the money and the perks and the health insurance and the pension and the power that they have. And, of course, it's only, of course, when they understand that you understand how they're voting and you're going to let people know. The one thing the congressman hates and fears most is the fact that people are going to learn how they vote. In fact, they've even passed legislation, thanks to John McCain, where we organizations can't tell you how they voted within 60 days of an election if they're, well, it's about time we let people know and we try to regain America. Hold on just a moment here. Well, Paul, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Okay. I guess basically summarize this thing. I think there's really 4 simple questions you have to ask. Number one, is there statistically significant warming? I don't believe there is. The warming that we have is less than it's ever been in the past, before there was ever any man-made or anthropogenic warming. Less than 1 degree in the last 100 years. Most of that gain's been lost in the last year. Second question is it even caused by man? Not according to the lack of correlation in the graphs in Inconvenient Truth. There's no really statistical relationship between the carbon that's shown and the temperature. As you said, carbon output tends to follow temperature, not the other way around. The third question is, if we decide to stop it, is there anything that man can actually do about it? Well, according to the results from the Kyoto Protocol, with the entire industrialized world following them, with no results, I don't believe that there's a whole lot that we can do, because we are such insignificant contributors to the amount of carbon dioxide that even if it mattered, which I don't believe it does, we can't actually change that. And then the fourth question is, should an eventual moderate temperature increase even bother us? And the question is, do I want it slightly warmer or slightly colder in my world? And the answer is, I want it slightly warmer. I like having more crops. I like not having to spend as much energy. And so I think when you ask those 4 questions, then the next question you better ask is it going to bother me if my standard of living falls in America, and the industry goes away, I lose my job, all because we are basically creating an unproven, and in order to combat an unproven and non-discernible threat, obviously not caused by man, so we're going to put in place an economically devastating and ineffective solution imposed that will cause vast human suffering, and we're going to do this to stop warming that would be beneficial. I don't know a more succinct way to phrase it than that. It's astounding to me. And I'm trying to make people care.
Well, I think your book will do an excellent job on that, and I'm really quite pleased that you've written the book, and I'm sure we're going to be carrying the book. We need to get people. We need to do exactly what Al Gore says. We need to make people fearful. They need to fear the very real threat, and this real threat is coming from none other than Al Gore himself and the people, of course, who are working there, intent upon the destruction of the industrial capacity of our nation, because that's what global warming and the Kyoto Protocol and all this fallout is all about. It's the destruction of the industrial capacity of our nation, and if we aren't concerned, who will be, and if not now, when? Paul, thank you so very much. We'll talk to you off the air. I'd like to get you onto our other programs. You've done a great job.
Thank you, sir.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, we'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Paul, and I hope you understand that this is really all about an attack on America. Now, if you really want to understand that there really are people who hate America, they've laid out a program. They laid it out back in 1991. You can get the Joan Vion's book on Prince Charles, the Sustainable Prince, and she tells about the meetings they had in 1991 and 1992 that Al Gore attended, where the financial leaders of the world attended and laid out the plan to destroy America. And then that became the basis of the second Earth Summit meeting in Rio in 1992. Now, if you've not yet, of course, seen our syllabus on sustainable development, you need to get it, you need to read it, you need to study it. You need to get their documents, because we include the Earth Charter, we include the Global Biodiversity Assessment, we include the report of the World Water Policy, the World Bank Water Policy. We include, of course, so much there, the Population Control Agenda monograph, which I have written, to tell you that they really intend to kill off most of the world's population. And people say that couldn't be true. Nobody could want to do that, and I would say, why not? I mean, look what the Nazis did. They had no compulsion about or no concern about killing off millions and millions and millions of people. What about the Russians? Under the Soviets, they killed off probably 60 million people. The Chinese killed off close to 100 million people. All the time we were financing Russia, and we were financing China, and we were financing the Nazis, even during the Second World War. If you haven't read the book Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, or my book Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get them. But you need to get, first of all, my material on sustainable development. The syllabus, the talk of sustainable development, the road to world government, and, of course, the four-tape set on sustainable development. Then you need to get, of course, the excellent DVD we carry on global warming put out by a good friend, Dr. Michael Kaufman. And we will be carrying Paul's book, because I think we've needed a good short book on this subject for a long time. And this book, really, if it doesn't get your blood pressure up, why, of course, you don't have any blood pressure, you're already dead. Understand that there really are people who have a different worldview. They hate America, and they will replace our society with an impoverished, enslaved society. And that's, of course, why you need, of course, to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, why you need to hear our talk entitled The Forbidden Secret. Because it tells you what the secret is that's been passed down for 5,000 years. And, of course, it's a DVD. There's a syllabus that goes with that. And then you'll be able to understand some of the president's addresses. His every 4 years, he gives an address, inauguration address. And, of course, you probably don't even remember when he talked about the angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs the storm. He talked about it twice. That's for emphasis. When he talked about when our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. Well, what's the new order of the ages? Why, of course, that's the Novus Ordoris Seclorum on the back of the dollar bill, there beneath the occult pyramid capped by the Luciferian eye. And, of course, they're doing everything to convince you that that's an American emblem. No, it's not. It's an emblem of the ancient mystery religions. And what we're seeing today is a fulfillment of the plans of the ancient mystery religions. And we even carry a book written by a Satanist named Manly Hall. When he died, he was referred to by the Scottish Rite magazine as the greatest Masonic philosopher of all time. And in his book, The Secret Destiny of America, he will tell you about that emblem on the back of the dollar bill. He says it's been around for 3,000 years. Now, you have to request the book specifically. It's not in our catalog. But, of course, it's on a special catalog for researchers who really want to understand that there is a satanic force behind everything, for we're indeed involved in a spiritual battle that's being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our website, RadioLiberty.com. You can go there. You can see a lot of the DVDs that we've done. You can certainly listen to our programs there 3 hours a day, 9 hours a day if you want to.